Welcome to the Institute of Catholic Culture. We are a non-profit Catholic organization dedicated to the re-evangelization of our society through educational and cultural programs offered to the public at no charge. This presentation and many others are available through our online library at instituteofcatholicculture.org and on our ICC app. Please view our upcoming schedule of live online events and engage with us on social media. For handouts, links, and further study materials, please visit this program's page on our website or app.
Blessed is our God at all times, both now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.
Amen.
O Lord and Master of my life, deliver me from the spirit of slothfulness, meddling, ambition, and vain talk. But bestow upon me your servant the spirit of purity, humility, patience, and love. Yes, O Lord and King, grant that I may be aware of my own sins and not to judge my brother, for thou art blessed unto ages of ages. Amen.
Amen.
A few opening remarks, and then I'm going to bring our choir in to join us. So give me about 5 minutes, 7 minutes, kind of get our plan for the evening together, and then we'll begin the formal part of our praying, singing in Jerusalem. You know that there's a famous quote attributed to St. Augustine, that is, he who sings prays twice. And that's a beautiful way of saying it, because when we sing, we open our hearts and in many ways become vulnerable. You know, when I do marriage prep with young couples, I make them sing their prayers together. And like I literally stand with them in the church. And the man's got to lead the prayers, and the wife's got to make the responses, because this is part of becoming open to each other and really sharing a common life. So singing is part of the beautiful patrimony of the church. Our prayers as Catholics, as apostolic Christians, traditionally have always been sung. It was only later that the idea of a spoken mass kind of came into existence in like the 7th century, 8th century in the West. It was never known in the East. Prior to that, all liturgy, but all the time, was always sung. And so you're going to experience some of those hymns, which are proper to the liturgy, tonight, being sung. Not as a way to entertain you, but as a way to pray together. And how do we pray when we're singing? First of all, we give praise to God. Most of the time when we pray, we think about asking for stuff, right? Lord, give me health. Lord, you know, heal my mother-in-law. Lord, this. Okay, I need a new house. Whatever it is. We talk about asking for stuff. But you know, the best thing to do when we pray is begin with praising God, giving thanks. I remember my grandmother said toward the end of her life, my cousin was recording an interview with her. And at the end of the interview, my cousin says, Nana, do you have anything else you'd like to share? And she stopped. And she said, I get up every morning, I put my 2 feet on the floor, and I say, thank you, Jesus. How beautiful that is. We must begin always with thanksgiving, with praise of the Lord. And the second way is opening our ears. We're not a listening society anymore. And especially during Lent, we want to work on this gift of listening. And so a lot tonight will be an opportunity for you to participate, to sing. You have your handout. But also an opportunity to listen and to just drink it in. Father Gregory asked recently at one of the ICC events, and someone asked tonight also about the when these hymns that we look at tonight were written. And as I said, well, it depends on which hymn, but they're very ancient, very old. And they're written by some of the great saints and teachers of the church. The something about the music you'll hear tonight, and maybe my wife Linda could just join me for a second, and that is that the structure of Byzantine hymnology is different from a notation pattern, right? So to the Western ear, sometimes it sounds almost like a little off-key or a little grating. How would you describe that?
So most of you who are familiar with Western music, there are a couple of different scales that you're familiar with, and those have very regular intervals between the notes. But Byzantine music often has these intervals that change whether you're going up the scale or down the scale. And so we'll be singing some hymns that have a few notes thrown in there that sound to a Western ear, sound very Middle Eastern, And they are, but they sound, they can sound dissonant, but they're not actually meant to be that way. We are singing it correctly. We're singing it the way it's written, but that variance in the interval between notes can sound a little bit like very different, but it does give it's a very specific Byzantine flair to the music that we sing. And it's because there's a whole different system of notation, and there's different, you know, microtones in between each of the notes. So it's just, it has a very distinct cultural flavor.
Oftentimes it will lend a sense of mournfulness, mm-hmm. a sense of sadness, of repentance. So when you hear it, it's not because the choir's off key, it's because they're singing the way the people of Jerusalem sing.
Yeah, okay? And in addition, our joyful hymns for Pascha sound very martial.
Yeah.
So they're very joyful, but they have a very martial feel to them because that's the theme of Pascha, is Christ conquering Hades. So
The first hymn, let's just look at a couple of things. You have your hand up. The first hymn we're going to be looking at tonight is probably going to surprise you, because it's called the Alleluia of the Bridegroom. Wait a minute, we can't say that word during Lent. It wasn't until the 11th century, that it actually was formalized in the West that the Alleluia would be buried, right? That it would be taken away during Lent because it was considered too joyful. But that never took place in the East. And so the Alleluia is actually sung more often during Lent in the Eastern tradition. And so the first hymn you're going to hear is going to be the Alleluia of the Bridegroom. And a lot of what you're going to be hearing tonight talks about the bridegroom, referring back to Matthew chapter 25. You remember the story of the wise virgins, the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins? Remember the five wise ones had their oils filled and their wicks trimmed, and the five foolish didn't have enough oil, you know? And I was showing this the other night, but here in the church, you know, we have oil lamps. And those oil lamps, the wick has to be trimmed in order for it to burn properly. And you got to have your oil and everything ready to go to fill the things. And so the idea is being prepared. And so oftentimes during Lent, we find ourselves asleep. And the church is saying, wake up, wake up. Your bridegroom is coming, right, for his bride. And of course, the bridegroom lays down his life for his bride. And that's what we're going to see in the crucifixion. So this goes back to Matthew chapter 25. You're also going to hear something what I call a divine paradox. In one of the hymns that you're going to hear toward the end is chanting by one of my sons, "Today Hades groans." Okay, "Today Hades groans," or actually, well, before that, "Today is hung upon a tree, he who suspends the earth over the waters." So did you hear that paradox? The one who holds, holding the whole creation together himself is held to a tree. How can this happen? And so you're gonna hear this divine paradox throughout the hymns that are being sung. You'll also hear what we call, what Father Alexander Schmemann called a bright sadness. That is, in the midst of the darkness of the crucifixion, in the shadows of Holy Saturday, there is the realization that Hades cannot hold him. That the place of death, once life enters into it, is destroyed. It is broken apart. So even in the midst of our tears, the announcement of the resurrection. Okay, and then finally we'll finish tonight with the entrance hymn of the resurrection. So I apologize we're doing this a little early, but I can't leave that last piece off. We'll sing "Christ is Risen" one time just for you to hear it. And then we'll be doing another one of these programs after Easter called "Singing in the Holy Land," and where we're going to do all the Easter and Pentecost hymns that the people of Jerusalem and people of Galilee love to sing. So with that, guys, I'm going to come in about halfway through this evening as we continue on. You should have your handout ready to go. And just pay attention to what time period these are being chanted. Holy Week, you'll see Holy Monday, you'll see Wednesday, you'll see Friday and things like that. And you'll kind of know where we're at in all of this business. Okay, Becky, how does that sound? Go ahead, guys. We're going to go ahead and come on in here. And I'll introduce my wife Linda, who's our choir director, okay, and everyone else here. I don't want to say everybody by name, but make sure that they're all in. We got Christian and Vincenzo and all the members of our choir here at St. George. These are hymns that are near and dear to our heart because they're near and dear to the heart of the people of the Holy Land. And when such tragedy is going on over there right now, this is a wonderful way to be joined to them in solidarity to appreciate who they are, the gift of faith that we have all received, whether in the West or in these, all of us are recipients of the apostolic tradition. And this gift that's been handed on to us and preserved so beautifully by the people of the Middle East. I'll turn it over to you.
My spirit seeks thee early in the morning, O God, for thy commandments are a light upon thee.
Oh. of ages. Amen.
How art thou the invisible judge, seen incarnate, and comest to be slain by men lawless and wicked, condemning our condemnation by thy passion, O Word of God. Hence with one accord, rendering glory, we offer hymns of praise and majesty to thy mighty power and sovereign authority.
And I've given
I'll step in for just a moment. I hope those that have come in late had a chance to print off our handout for this evening. If you did not and have not had it, we have the link there for you in the chat box. As you have been hearing these hymns, as I said in our emails and things leading up to this event this evening, these are the hymns that the people of Jerusalem sing during Holy Week. These are the hymns which are sung at Golgotha, at the place of the crucifixion. These are the hymns that are sung at the tomb of Christ. And as you can hear, there is this this what I call a divine paradox, that how is this possible that the one who is literally holding up the cross is himself nailed to it, and this beautiful mystery that then unfolds. You'll begin hearing now, and actually you already began to hear in this last hymn what I describe as a liturgical earthquake, because I think in modern, maybe in popular piety, we have the sense of the sorrow of the crucifixion. But for the Christians of Jerusalem, they never lose sight of the resurrection. And so even in the midst of the sorrow of Good Friday, they don't forget the good part. And therefore, knowing that when the Lord gives his life on the cross for us, immediately entering into the realm of death, he is the one who is alive beyond our understanding of alive. Yes? So even on Good Friday, in the midst of the cross, we hear, as you heard the chanting, we hear the announcement, show us also thy resurrection. And then as the church gathers together for Holy Saturday, the mystery that we behold, the hymns which are sung, is the mystery of Christ's glory, his power which overwhelms death itself. And so the next hymn that you'll hear sung, is Today Hades Groans. Today Hades Groans. For it took in what it perceived to be a man over whom it had dominion. And yet it discovered God over whom it did not have dominion. And in that moment, the nature of death was forever changed. Because when life enters the place that by nature has no life, that place is now the place where the resurrection begins to shine. And as the tradition handed down to us tells us, that it was Adam who first heard the footsteps of God entering into the realm of death and remembered what those footsteps sounded like in paradise, and was the first one to announce that the Savior had come to save them.
Glory to thy cross and resurrection.
Against him I could not prevail. From eternity I had ruled the dead, but behold, he raises them all. Because of him do I pass.
Smoke vanishes, so let them vanish, as wax melts.
us the tidings of joy of the resurrection of Christ. Exalt hands and be glad, O Jerusalem, for thou hast seen Christ the King as a bridegroom come forth from the tomb. So let sinners perish at the presence of God, and let the righteous be glad. The myrrh-bearing women at deep dawn drew nigh to the tomb of the Giver of life. They found an angel sitting upon the stone, and he addressing them in this manner did say, "Why
I'm doing
Thank you guys for beautiful, beautiful singing this evening. I hope all of you appreciate, were able to follow along. I hope this is, for me, I was standing behind, unfortunately my parishioners have to deal with my voice, which I do not sing in the choir. It's so beautiful, and I was getting a little teary-eyed, to be honest with you, because so many of these beautiful hymns being sung. What a gift it is to be able to participate with the people of the Holy Land, where our faith was born. I hope you really were able to enjoy this and be able to go back to it in the days to come as we send out the recording. We're not going to do question and answer tonight because I think it would kind of draw away from the glory of this evening. You may have questions, and you're welcome to send those in to us. You can always email, by the way, always email info at instituteofcatholicculture.org. There's a real person that answers that. And a lot of the times those questions end up on my desk, and I send a text back, or I'll email you or call you, and we can talk. Or you can always call me on my cell phone, which Becky will post there in the chat box. You're always welcome to do that. And so with that, Becky, I think we'll call it a good for the evening with a final prayer for all of our community and for all of those in the Holy Land who are suffering. I saw recently that they even had to close the tomb or the church of the Anastasis, the Holy Sepulchre, because they were afraid that there were going to be terror attacks against the church and the people gathered there. So we want to pray especially for those. One of my parishioners, whose family is from Lebanon, her sister just reposed in the Lord this past week, and they had her funeral. And she said less than a half mile away, the explosions were taking place, and people were running for their cars, and even at the funeral. So these are, remember when you see these news things going on, these are real people. And whatever side you're on, remember, there are Christians there. There are Christians in the Holy Land. There are Christians in Lebanon. There's Christians in Syria. There's Christians in Iraq. There's Christians in Iran. These are apostolic Christians, and they are being forced out of their homes. They're being forced out of their towns, and in many places, oftentimes, never able to return. And so always when you see these stories going on in the news, stop for a moment and pray for them. Let's pray for them right now this evening. Blessed is our God at all times, both now and ever, and into ages of ages. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, you who promised that when two or three are gathered in your name, you would be here among us. We ask you to be here now. We give thanks to you for this gift of prayer that we have received from our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. We ask you, Lord, that we might, in these days of Lent, be more closely united to your holy cross. We know that no one will rise from the dead who has not first died with you. And we choose now willingly to embrace your cross, to die to our old selves, that we might rise again to a newness of life, to glorify your holy name for all eternity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, both now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this program from the Institute of Catholic Culture. Remember to download our app and share our online library with friends, co-workers, and family members. To learn more, get involved, and support the Institute's work, visit instituteofcatholicculture.org and visit us on social media.